Please be seated. Most every one of us remembers where we were and what we were doing on September 11th, 2001. It was one of those seminal moments in history. Smoke, people running, people screaming, people falling from unimaginable heights, and they weren't really falling, they were jumping. We remember the president's somber speech. Then there were two more planes, Washington, Pennsylvania, and the phrase that kept rising to the surface, we had been attacked, and our own people had been used as the missiles. And today, people around the world remember that day. That's a good thing. Some remember it with profound and acute grief, others with sadness and empathy, others even with a little indifference, and others still with great anger. And for many of us, all those emotions rolled into one. For me, one of the most poignant parts of that time occurred just before September 11th and just afterwards. Just a couple of weeks before September 11th, I was in New York as part of a youth mission trip, and the youth were working in homeless missions throughout the city, and the kids on the trip really were exposed to a lot of the realities of our broken world. My wife and my children stood in the shadows of the Twin Towers as one day they worked at a mission called the John Hughes House, which was an outreach program of Trinity Episcopal Church on Wall Street. Now, you know the area, because the area is such a high-rent district of Manhattan. The John Hughes House is not going to have a big sign that says mission or a particular entrance to identify it. You have to know where it is. It's somewhat anonymous. It's in a basement down an unmarked alley. But the John Hughes House was different from a normal mission. Not only did they provide meals for those in need, but the mission was also a form of a training center trying to help people enter or re-enter the workforce. They had volunteer teachers that helped people get their GEDs. They had job postings and interview training and assistance with putting together your resume and completing your applications. It was a really impressive place. As I mentioned, it was in the shadows of the World Trade Centers. And for several of us, when we saw that first tower fall, we thought about them because we'd just been there. About how many people were probably already in that center that morning and wondered how any of them could have possibly survived. It was a couple of weeks later before we found out that debris from the towers had, in essence, buried the John Hughes House. And although the staff and clients were unharmed, they were trapped there for 3 long days. And on that third day, they began hearing some kind of activity outside their door. And what happened next, I'll never forget. A lone, off-duty firefighter had gathered some of his friends and on their own had essentially come to dig them out of their tomb. "How did you know we were here?" one of the staff members asked their rescuers. And the firefighter told him. He told them that he knew where they were because several years before, when he had been down on his luck and without a job, he had been a client of the John Hughes House. They gave him food when he was hungry, helped him get his feet back on the ground, and helped him prepare to become one of New York's bravest. And he would never forget where they were. And more importantly, he was determined to find them. That's where I found myself, in that memory on the anniversary of this terrible day, and also in today's gospel lesson. Jesus tells a parable about a lost sheep and a lost coin, and what follows, but is not a part of today's reading, is the story of a lost son, the prodigal son. And every single one of us can identify with this parable because every single one of us knows how it feels to be lost. We are that poor little lamb who's wandered off. We are that lost coin whose worth is greater with the other coins than by ourselves. And we are that son who is welcomed back into the fold for no other reason than he is loved. There's joy in that for every single one of us, and especially for those tax collectors and sinners who were listening to Jesus that day. But there's only one problem with all this, and that is, I'm not sure it's the whole point. Because the other part of the listening crowd were the Pharisees, the perceived faithful people when it came to all things religious. Jesus was telling them this story too. And suddenly, the point isn't about being found, but instead about being faithful and diligent searchers. And for me, that too is the point of this parable as much as anything else, because we are called to be seekers and searchers in this world. Because lost sheep matter. Lost coins have value, and lost people, isn't that what this is all about? So for me, this parable is about the joy of being found, but it's also the challenge of being the searcher. And that in between time where we most often find ourselves. And maybe that's as important a message as for all of us on this day that we commemorate. Because, you know, I'm not convinced that lingering on the tragedy of September 11th offers us a way of transformation any more than staring at Jesus on the cross tells us anything about resurrection. But here's what I do know. For a brief time, immediately following September 11th, the world was full of seekers and searchers. And I'm not talking literally like those at Ground Zero. I'm talking about people who came together, people who could identify and work together for a common good. People reached out to each other to help each other, putting aside all the many differences that separate and divide us. People gave each other the space to react, to question, to wonder, to grieve. People shared each other's burdens in a way that was selfless and hopeful. That's what happens when we heed the call to be seekers and diligent searchers, even if that's a world we can hardly recognize anymore. You heard us talking about it. When the service is over, our kids and youth will be delivering home-cooked barbecue meals to local police and fire stations as a way of saying thanks to first responders for what they do. It's a way for the kids to commemorate this day because most of them were born after that terrible day and many are simply too young to understand the significance of it. But maybe when they're older, they'll be able to remember that aside from the horror of the event, it was a time where if we looked, we could see what is possible for humankind. We could see people saying thank you. We could see people being grateful. People who came together as one people to truly honor the good in those around us. They may even come to know a little bit about what it means to search with all their hearts for the hope that surrounds us every single day, even if we grown-ups have made it so elusive. And maybe then in turn, through their eyes, they could teach us all a thing or two. I hope so. I pray so. And if so, I'm convinced that if we listen real hard and real carefully, that we might just hear, as Jesus promised, that joyful sound of angels rejoicing in heaven. God love you. Amen.